All right, welcome back, guys. This is Believe in Rams, episode 176. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He is Cameron Lynch. And you can follow us at JK Bogan and at Cameron Lynch 50. But today we have a very special guest coming on to talk about the Matthew Stafford situation, his injury, the UCL sprain. We're going to talk a little bit about Cooper Kupp and just some other things that go into it. Before we get into that, we do want to touch base on just everything that's going on with the Rams right now. Hard to do a full preview right now, Cam, because we don't know who the hell is going to start at quarterback versus the Packers. Okay, you have people on Twitter asking me if I can spin it. That's where we're at right now. So, look, we're going to avoid that for the time being because like we can't do a full-on preview if we don't know who's starting. We don't know what's going to happen. So, yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, just we think about, you know, Stetson Bennett, you know, being the backup quarterback, but he's now on, he's not playing right now, right? And so we talk about this. We feel like we're in the same position as last year. We talk about how big quarterback is currency. Quarterback is currency. And so the Rams go out and get Stetson Bennett. Well, Stetson Bennett's not available, and now we're in the same position as last year. So, Jake, who do we go get? What does that look like? Colt McCoy or whatever. We don't know. We're not sure. But it's a little frustrating, Jake, to be in this position again for the second time after we were last year. But, Jake, you know, going to the game, the football game, I know Matthew Stafford hurt himself. I know he threw an interception. So things didn't really go too well. But maybe we need to touch on some of the defense and special teams as well and some of the things that went good and didn't go too well. But I feel like we're back again, Jake. Same things last year. It's unfortunate.
It's deja vu all over again, Cam. But you know what can take your mind off of deja vu all over again? Underdog Fantasy. So, Cam, tell us a little bit about Underdog Fantasy to get us away from this.
Yes, yeah, so you can start playing Pick'em or Weekly Fantasy for any sport today. Users will receive an 100% deposit match up to $100 if they use promo code Believe in Rams at signup. There's a limited time $500 bonus match on your first deposit. Start playing Pick'em and Weekly Fantasy Football today with Underdog Fantasy.
Underdog Fantasy. No, that is right, Cam. look, I mean, if you have not signed up yet, up to $500 bonus match. Like, I mean, that's a bargain. Like, that's an absolute steal. What that means is if you put in $500, they give you $500 of bonus cash in your account, and there you go. So, great stuff there from Underdog Fantasy. Thank you, Cam, for getting us out of, you know, harm's way there because it's a little brutal. But of course, you know what else isn't brutal? BetOnline.ag, which is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You can get the latest odds, lines, and matchups for reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Sign up today. Use our code BELIEVE to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, Cam, talking about this Dallas Cowboys game, also not really a ton to talk about because it's just one of those games where, man, I'm going to try to dissect the tape this week on my Kick account, but it is going to be so hard to do all 22 film breakdown because it's, I mean, let me just ask you this as a player, is this one of those games where you toss the tape away? Like, are they really going to look at this? Like, cause this isn't them and they know it. Like Sean McVay even said the Sean McVay show, he's like, this is an outlier game.
Yeah, no, I think, Jake, it's not a game that you toss out. The reason why I say that is because if the Rams don't learn from this right now, this can take their whole season, right? And there is a 24-hour rule that's really important, but I'm just going to block punt. At the end of the day, we talked about it, is John Fossil was the special teams coach at the Rams. So whether it be a trick player or whatever it is, but he's going to get after the Rams special teams ass. And he did. They had blocked the punt. Jake, calls a safety. It's hard to win football games. Number one, when you have punt blocks, and then when you have interception and you throw the football away, you give the football up. And that's what the Rams did. And it was unfortunate. I know our guy Fuller got an interception. He kind of, you know, evened out the frame there when it comes to takeaways. But the Cowboys won the takeaway margin on special teams and on defense. And at halftime, Jake, I was like, do I even watch this anymore? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely brutal. Just a brutal game. I mean, you know, what was it, 33-9.5? I mean, good Lord, man. Good Lord. But Look, yeah, this game was not great. You know, I think there are some good things to take away. First off, the usage in the passing game, Daryl Henderson, we finally got some slip screens like we've been asking for. Little things, little wins. Let's go. Yeah. Keep in mind, I mean, hey, we were the Kings last year trying to find a silver lining. And I thought we did a pretty damn good job because we took over this show and this team was supposed to be a hell of a lot better than they ended up being. We had no idea what we were signing up for. The good news is, I don't believe this is a 5-12 football team like it was last year. Mm-hmm. I think this team has been in every single game. And I know I said that last year, but they have been way more competitive this year, in my opinion. Yeah. You talk about going against the Eagles, the 49ers. I mean, now the Cowboys, and this is the only one that wasn't really close, beating the Seahawks, who look like one of the best teams in the NFC right now. And it kind of puts into perspective. I mean, look at the Bengals. Like, you know, now they're starting to rise high, and that was a game that they could have won. They should have won. They should have beaten the Steelers. So I don't know. I look at it right now as they're in a tough spot in Matthew Stafford's injury, which Dr. Cho is going to get into, you know, as this, you know, podcast goes on, the show goes on. But, you know, I think right now the time isn't really to panic. They have a bye upcoming. Like, obviously, you really want them to come away with this win against Green Bay. But I think, you know, even if you lose the game, it's not necessarily over, because you look at the NFC, Cam, and it's like the Vikings lost Kirk Cousins. They got Josh Dobbs at the trade deadline today.
Yeah.
But they lost Kirk Cousins. That's a significant loss. They weren't even winning games with Kirk Cousins when he was playing at his best. So I don't know how you could immediately take into consideration that Josh Dobbs is going to play better. You know, you can't. You look at the Saints. Saints haven't exactly finished teams off. The Bucs have been kind of all over the place. I mean, good stuff out of Baker. Defense has showed up at times. Defense hasn't showed up. They didn't go out and get a running back like we were hoping they would. Yeah. Then you look at, you know, the Commanders, who just gave two pass rushers away. Pretty abysmal organization to this point. The Packers, you can knock solely out of the playoff race if you beat them, because 2-6 and you have the tiebreaker over them. There's just not a lot of teams, Cam. Like the pool of teams is now down to 10, and three teams out of, you know, seven teams out of those 10 are going to make it. Three are going to miss. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for the Rams to make the playoffs still. I don't. I think the important thing is keeping Stafford healthy. And if you have to hold him out this week, man, I'm just going to say right now, there's no excuse. You should pick up Carson Wentz, start him, and, you know, move on, because Brett Rypien's probably not going to get you the win. I can tell you that much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Jake, we have 2 weeks to not repeat last year's season, Jake. We have 2 weeks to do that. And so I know Stetson Bennett, I know he's not playing right now, but we have 2 weeks to figure it out. I'm praying that the Rams figure something out, Jake, in these next 2 weeks, because if Matthew Stafford's not able to play, let's say he re-injures that thumb that he has, UCL injury. If he re-injures it, Jake, we're in the same situation as last year. So we have 2 weeks to figure it out, rest Matthew Stafford, have a bye week, and then figure out who that backup quarterback's going to be, because we'll be doing the same thing we did last year, and we know how that ended.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Bryce Perkins. And to be honest with you, I'd rather see Bryce Perkins than Brett Rypien. He didn't get a fair shot. And by the way, he never got a chance to play with these weapons. Okay, by the time he got thrown in the fire, he was playing against the defending Super Bowl champions. He had no offensive line to speak of, and he had no weapons. So yeah. I don't know. I'd like to see him and see what he could do with that mobility, and just see if he could play kind of loosely, kind of like how he did in the preseason. If you could unlock that out of him, who knows? But I just think that it was kind of like Rippin's the guy there because he's not Wolford and Bryce Perkins. And we really just found out that the Rams just simply they never had a strategy in mind. Like when Stetson Bennett went on NFI, we talked about it. They should have immediately picked up somebody. They did not. Now they're in this position. But we could go on all day about this. We're not going to. There's not going to be much of a preview about the Packers, since we don't have the viable information to give you a preview. I can tell you that they're not a good run team. So a run defensive team. So figure that out. I mean, obviously, yeah, you got Royce playing well. You got Hendo playing well. Run the football. But Cam, I'm excited to show everyone our little interview here with Dr. Chow, who I think just does an absolutely incredible job. I would not want to be in his boat. I mean, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work to dissect and watch and have to zoom in. And Not easy, man. Not easy.
He's a great ally for athletes who do get injured or may get injured in the future. Great ally in the media space. So I'm looking forward to this interview, Jake. I'm looking forward to sharing this interview with the world. And Dr. Chow, man, thank you so much for spending time with us.
So, all right. Here's our interview with Dr. Chow. And you guys enjoy. Later, folks. All right, welcome back, guys. This is Believe in Rams. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. Joining me, as always, is Cameron Lynch. And we have a very special guest. We have Dr. David Chow, who is pretty much the go-to for any sort of injury, when it comes to football. Pro Football Doc, at Pro Football Doc on Twitter, you can find him. Official injury expert, live injury analysis, Sports Injury Central. You can see the SIC in the back. How you doing, doctor? Thank you so much for joining the show.
I'm doing well. And actually, the Sports Injury Central weekly podcast every Monday with Injury Rundowns is now Believe Network. And, you know, I look at it this way. I feel like we've spawned an industry of, quote, Twitter doctors, and people have talked about it. I don't think of myself as a Twitter doctor. I think of myself as a practicing orthopedic surgeon who has an unfair advantage because I worked in the NFL. I worked on the other side, not only to see injuries in the NFL, but the infrastructure of how it works. And it's an unfair advantage of insider knowledge related to the injuries. And we're not perfect in our analysis, but we do injury analysis, not injury reporting. We're not going to the agent or to a doctor or to the team or finding a player and getting that information. We do find that information, obviously, as often spin, where we're just looking at it from an analysis perspective. That doesn't mean we're always 100% right, but we've shown that we're 95% correct when the video is clear. Just this last weekend, Kirk Cousins, when he went down, said, yeah, that's an Achilles, just like Aaron Rodgers in week one. And I had one, I won't say who, but one national media guy text me, how sure are you? And I said, I replied, 99.9. You know, I mean, it looked very clear to me. I mean, I can't ever be 100. I didn't examine him, right? But yeah. 99.9. That's what we go off of. And, look, by way, I don't know if you really even want to go here, but since it's a Rams blog, Rams fans might remember that they got all over me related to, was it 2.5 years ago, Jared Goff in the playoffs versus Seattle with the thumb injury.
Oh, yeah.
He missed week 17. With some sort of thumb surgery. My analysis in Sports Injury Central was, book it. Jared Goff will start the game versus the Seahawks. Book it. Done deal. That thumb will not bother him. As you all know, and as you're laughing, 90 minutes before the game, Jay Glazer says, oh, it's going to be John Wolford. And I went, what? You know, I didn't delete any tweets. I took my lumps in medicine. And guess what we did? We went back and doubled down. When, as it turned out, Jared Goff played 3.5 quarters, right? Because John Wolford got a concussion. So what's my proof that his thumb was okay? It was not that he played 3.5 quarters and played well. That's not it. What I said on Monday, the proof was, and Cam, you can back me up on this, no NFL team goes into a regular season game, much less a playoff game, with 1.5 healthy quarterbacks. If they weren't sure about Jared Goff's health, they would have had to have activated Blake Bortles. Yep. Blake Bortles was not active against Seattle. That showed the Rams were confident that Goff was healthy, but they were choosing to start Wolford. Then it came out from Mike Silver, who's tight Cal, you know, Jared Goff, that Goff was told on Tuesday that if he wasn't able to practice, they were going to Wolford. So what did that tell me? That told me that if they thought of Jared Goff as up here, they thought of John Wolford as very close to him. Or was it they thought John Wolford was here and they think Jared Goff is here? Bottom line is, if you're Matt Stafford, and I'm sure we'll get to him, and he doesn't practice all week long, he is the starter. I don't care, right? But the fact, if you're starting Brett Rypien just because Matthew Stafford didn't practice all week, that means you either love Brett Rypien or you don't like Matthew Stafford that much anymore, right? If he can play. So this is what we do based on insider knowledge of the medical situation and how teams work. And we're, I think, in a unique position to make some of these analyses. And this is just an example, maybe an intro to your guys of what we do, which is clearly different than what reporters do, you know, getting sources of agents or from teams, et cetera.
Yeah. And Dr. Chow, too, I also want to say this as well, right? Being a former athlete, playing the sport, at the end of the day, no matter how long we play, we are professional in what we do. In your practice, you are able to say what you're able to say because not only do you work for the Chargers, but you went to Harvard, you went to Northwestern, right? You have that behind you to push you.
And I have the utmost respect for professional athletes. I just did something else with Marcellus Wiley, and he was asking, you know, are you banging on Deshaun Watson for not playing? I'm like, no. I always have respect for athletes. There's a reason for things that happen, et cetera. And one of the things that I will have been pleasantly surprised by, as I have run into athletes, you know, Super Bowl media, this, that, the other. I'll give you, I can tell this story. Right tackle for the Chiefs when they were in the Super Bowl. I'm blanking on his, Mitchell Schwartz, okay? I know his brother, Jeff Schwartz, pretty well. He does a lot of media stuff. He does a great job. I'm at a Super Bowl team media session, and I would never get in the way of a true media professional. Mitchell Schwartz was at a table. Nobody was around him. And I walked up. I introduced myself, Pro Football Doc, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, I know who you are. And I'm like, no. I said, should I get up and leave? Because I've said a lot about his knee throughout the year. And he said, no. He goes, I know you talked to my brother, you know, but no, I actually like what you do. Because as a player, I was starting to get heat because the team was saying, any day now, any day now. And they did that for 4 or 6 weeks. It made him look bad. But the team was just, you know, giving team information, playing the coach speak game. Yet he couldn't come out and say, are you kidding me? It was a grade 3 MCL. I'm 6 weeks away. I don't know why they're telling me it's any day now. He had to keep quiet. So he actually liked, and as I've run into athletes, for the most part, they've actually liked what I've said and done because it puts them in a better light. If you look at the first week or early this season, Saquon Barkley, we were saying he's got a high ankle sprain. And the team said, nope. And the team said ordinary ankle sprain, even after an MRI. And I'm like, yeah, ordinary high ankle sprain. And on Thursday night, there was all this, he might play Thursday, he might play Thursday. And on Thursday night football, Saquon tells Taylor Rooks, yeah, I've got a high ankle sprain. Why? Because Saquon said, I don't want to be labeled soft. I mean, I'm going to tell the world what I have. And yeah. And so that's been interesting in terms of the process as well.
Yeah, and Dr. Chu, really quick before we jump into the actual meat and potatoes of the Rams and what that
looks like. I'm sorry for going long-winded. Yeah. No, you guys are the last believe one of the day, so I've got a little time.
No, this is perfect, Doctor. As a former athlete, what they tell us, they always tell us, get a second opinion, right? That's always important. Get a second opinion. What does that look like? The fact that you have your platform in the media space as a doctor, that's really important because we can find that allyship where it's like, hey, doctor, I want to go find a second opinion. Can you maybe even look at me for a second opinion? And also, I don't want to say anything. Here's some content for you if you want to use it, but I don't feel comfortable doing it. The team doesn't. But having that ally in the space, in the medical space, in the football and the sports space is extremely important. So, doctor, I'll tell you from a former athlete myself, we appreciate you.
Oh, no problem.
So now we get into the meat and potatoes. We'll start off really unfortunate news with Matthew Stafford. And what I saw your live stream on Twitter. And what I like about what you said, and obviously you'll be able to expand on this, is that, I mean, I was saying as soon as McVay announced that this was a UCL sprain, I was not exactly jumping for joy like other Rams fans were. I was like, this is still serious. This is his third injury of his thumb. He hurt his thumb with the Rams. He had surgery with the Lions. I mean, this is a little concerning. Where are you at on this injury?
Well, in game on Sunday when it happened, and we saw it jammed in the helmet opening, we said there was worry for ulnar-collateral ligament injury here. And we followed up on that live stream that we saw saying that he had surgery right before he got to the Rams from a partially torn ulnar-collateral ligament. We can't tell you this, the degree of injury to the ulnar-collateral ligament. We're not examining him. But we said it's a reasonable possibility that he can't return to play this game because you have to be able to grip it to be able to spin it and throw accurately. Matthew Stafford is as tough as they come. He's played through so many different injuries. So I wasn't questioning his toughness. It's just his ability. Think back years ago when we thought and we said, in game, a significant ulnar-collateral ligament injury because of the force. It wasn't caught in the helmet. It came down on the helmet. Drew Brees. We said, that's an ulnar-collateral tear, and he's going to need surgery. Well, no one really believed us. He left the game. And then when we said he's going to need surgery, and when it got confirmed, people went the other way. And Cam, you know this. Never too high, never too low in the NFL. Yeah. Never too high, never too low. Yeah. Never too low. Oh my gosh, surgery, he's done. No, we said 6 weeks, he'll be back. And he was, right? And what we're saying about Matthew Stafford is, and Jake, I appreciate you looking at the live stream, we don't delete information. If we're wrong, we're wrong, okay? Because we're not in the room and, you know, we're just giving the analysis as best that we can. What I always say, teams do a lot of months and months of due diligence and they don't get every draft pick right. Coaches don't get every game plan right. Players don't get every play right. I'm from afar and I'm trying to do this, okay? And we're trying to do this. But we don't delete stuff. So Matthew Stafford comes back in the game, has very little tape on his thumb. And I'm thinking, did we miss the boat? Are we wrong? This is surprising me. But we say, well, that's just what we thought. And sure enough, two series later, he's out of the game. And he's got this humongous wrap on the hand. And Sean McVay has now confirmed on the collateral ligament. This is a big deal because of the quarterback and throwing. Now, I think Matthew Stafford is better off than Justin Fields because Justin Fields dislocated his thumb. And we don't believe for 1 second that the MRI showed nothing. The MRI showed nothing operative, but you can't have no damage when a joint comes out of place, okay? And from the get-go, we said multi-week absence for Justin Fields. Now, I get this is a Rams podcast here, but for Justin Fields, he said multi-weeks. He's missed 2 weeks. And we're not, and now he's out again the third week. And by the way, just because he hasn't been put on injured reserve yet doesn't mean he's guaranteed to play week four. And Bears fans might say, well, why didn't they put him on injured reserve then? Because he's the quarterback and because he's the leader. And because if there is a slight chance that he might beat 4 weeks, you don't want to put him on injured reserve. That would be a bad move. And also nowadays, with practice squad call-ups, the roster has more flexibility than you used to have. So you don't need to burn that spot. I mean, what if he was ready at week three or four? You'd be kicking yourself that you put him on injured reserve. So you just let him go. So Justin Fields is right where we thought. Matthew Stafford, I don't think is as bad as Justin Fields right now. I'm not saying he's for sure multi-weeks or he's going to, you know, be an IR, but it is something that is very worrisome in a quarterback because if you can't have the strength to grip it, look, an index finger injury, some quarterbacks are middle finger dominant. You don't need it. Some are index finger dominant. You don't need the middle finger, but every quarterback needs the thumb.
Yeah. Can you talk about Justin Herbert really quick, the other LA team that's there? And I know Justin has been affected by that as well. Just really quick. I know he said
it's the left hand, right? He's got the middle finger fracture that he's looking better from. What's funny is I told my team at Sports Injury Central for the last 2 weeks, well, first the week after the bye, I said, it's still going to bug him, but you watch Matt, Justin Herbert isn't going to take any snaps under center. It's all going to be from shotgun. Now, how does that affect Austin Eckler? How does it affect other guys? And what happens? The first play of the game, he takes a snap from under center, right? And doesn't do it again. That's basically like, hey, this quarterback can't throw long. Let him throw long once on the first series just to keep everybody honest, right?
Right,
and to take it out of your head that they're that this is what they're going to be. And that's part of the gamesmanship that happens, and we know that happens in the NFL.
And, Doctor, really quick, can you stick on that gamesmanship part, right? Because you talked about a couple times, like, why would you put your starting quarterback on injured reserve? Can you talk about the chess match that coaches and teams play with other teams so they don't tip their hand? Like, what does that look like for the fans that are listening?
Okay. We coined something. We say all the time, coach speak. I am not getting on any coach that does coach speak. I am not calling them a liar. All I am saying is they are doing their job. And as a Rams fan, you want Sean McVay to sometimes have some coach speak, okay? I'll give you an example. Early this season, when there was some sort of setback to Cooper Kupp, Sean McVay, and I'm not hating him on this, he's doing his job, said, yeah, he's day-to-day. I'm like, a setback? He's week-to-week. He's in Minnesota talking to a body specialist. I don't even know what a body specialist is. Is it a ART person? Is it a therapist? Is it some a chiropractor? I have no idea. But he flew halfway, two-thirds of the way across the country to see someone. This is not day-to-day kind of thing. This is multi-weeks with a setback, and then he hit injured reserve. Now he looks good, and he's fine. I'm not calling Sean McVay a liar. It's called coach speak. They do it all the time. And, you know, kind of thing. The Bears did it with Justin Fields in his thumb. You know, I'm not sure Sean McVay isn't letting on the severity, okay? Why are they looking for another quarterback right now if they don't think there's nothing there, right?
And, oh, boy.
I mean, look, I can get into that one. I'll tell you, one time, I won't mention the name of the player, but we had a player once, a wide receiver, whatever, I'm tipping my hand. I won't say the name. Tore his ACL in game. And immediately after the game, the GM grabbed me and said, what's he got? You know, anything? He goes, tore his ACL. He's done for the season. He goes, don't tell anybody. I'm like, I'm not telling anybody. He goes, I got a trade in the works. Okay, I'm signing
somebody. No way.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I never tell anybody. I said, but if you want to keep this quiet, I told the player, and that locker room's about to open. Somebody better go tell that player to keep his mouth shut if that's what you want to have happen, because that locker room door is about to open. I'm not going to tell anybody, right? And so that's kind of the stuff that happens. You know, maybe there's a downplay for a reason, right? And it does make sense, and teams don't want their dirty laundry out there in terms of what's going on. And I know teams have been aware of what I do. I don't think I've ever said anything disrespectful about a player, about a coach, about a GM, about a medical professional. I would not do that. I have too much respect. But I do give countering opinions sometimes, you know? And I've been on the other side of this, not only with that example, but we've hidden our share of injuries. I mean, I was a doctor involved in Phillip Rivers playing 6 days after a knee scope after he tore his ACL in the last game of Indy. The team knew what he had, but that's what wasn't what was announced and said, because all you need to legally do is say knee in a status. And when asked further, Norv Turner, you know, spun it a little bit, coach speak of what it was or wasn't, right? So that's where I look at it, is I've been on the other side and have the unfair advantage of knowing how it works a little bit in terms of, and then being able to decipher, looking at injuries, verifying what's real or not real in terms of what's happening. But getting back to it, this Matt Stafford thing is a deal. How much of a deal, I don't know. But clearly enough of a deal to not finish the game, and enough of a deal for Rams to look at other quarterbacks. And I think that he is iffy to play this week for the Rams.
I don't think he should, to be honest with you. I mean, you have the bye coming up. Don't you just take those 2 weeks and just let him kind of, I understand it's not, you know, it takes what, 4 to 5 weeks to, for that type of injury to heal, but those 2 weeks help. Like, we can't act like, you know, taking those 2 weeks off wouldn't help him. Where are you on that, by the way? Would you sit him out, or would you play him if, because it's going to be hard to take the ball out of his hands.
You know, I can't even come to a formal opinion on that without knowing the severity and how can he grip and spin the ball. Now, of course, rest in a perfect world, you want to rest, but who are they going to play at quarterback? They got to sign someone else anyways. And, you know, look, got to look at matchups and different things. And Coach McVay is smart. He can change game plans, alter certain, you know, passes, this, that, the other. There's a lot of machinations that are done. But let me tell you something. I'll bet you that as of this moment, the Rams aren't sure what they're going to do. If they have a choice of playing him or waiting through the bye, I'll bet they're taking a couple more days before they make the final decision. That's just the way that it works in terms of the logistics and what have you. And, you know, earlier this season, we had another quarterback. I think everyone thought after the Bengals were 0-2, Joe Burrow had aggravated that calf. They said, well, he's going to wait this next week and not play. And I said, well, not so fast. I don't know that the Bengals have made that decision. And everyone would say, rest a week. But remember, this was a preseason calf injury. 1 week wasn't going to fix it. Can you really afford to rest him a month? I mean, you're 0-2. So that's why I thought they may change the game plan and play him. The other piece where I was confident they would play him, if they were deciding to rest him, why would they run him out there LP? They'd put him in a boot and rest him. As soon as they ran him out there LP, I was like, they're trying to play him for this week. So are some of the subtle clues that we look at.
And one thing I want to also touch on, still with sticking with Stafford here, I've been told that Matthew Stafford's hip is not good. And that I feel like is kind of going to get lost here because of the thumb. But I mean, he's also dealing with a hip injury. I saw a little bit of, like, you could see a different weight shift when he was, you know, watching the All-22. When he's thrown deep down the field, there's a little bit more of a hitch to him. What are your thoughts on that? Because I don't know. I didn't get a chance to see your analysis when he suffered that against the Colts, but I think that's still affecting him, Doctor.
You know, come week 9 in the NFL, Cam Lynch will probably finish the sentence for me here. 85% healthy is a good week. Come week 9. Okay?
Yes.
I mean, does he have a hip something? Probably. Okay? Thankfully, he's not Lamar Jackson running everywhere, so it's not less of a deal. He's got a strong arm. And yes, there's no question he has a hip something, but 85% is a good week, my friend.
Yes, hey, yes.
Makes me feel a little bit better there because I was a little worried about that, and it sounded like you were pretty high on Cooper Kupp. He's 100% now, you would say?
Essentially, and what makes him even better than 100%, he's got another guy that you got to pay attention to. It's not just Cooper Kupp and call it a day. I mean, that really helps a lot, right? I mean, to have attention elsewhere besides just you. And I think he's looking pretty good.
And Dr. Cha, as we wrap up here, I wanted to ask you really the psychology behind it. What are some of the words that you share with some of the athletes, right, as they get their second opinions, or when you were there, you know, at the Chargers? I know you're at the board of Junior Seau Foundation. So what are some of the things that you share with some of your athletes and you let them know, hey, not only am I giving you this medical background, but as a person, as a human, these are some of the words that I want you to take with you to work through these injuries. What does that look like?
Well, I look at it this way. If a team doctor or someone tells you you can't go get a second opinion or shouldn't go get a second opinion, you should run and go get a second opinion. Okay? It's always your right. Now, there are some limits to that, too. We used to have an agent that had a lot of middle-tier guys on our team, and he would send every mild low ankle sprain out for a second opinion. And I'm like, for what? The second opinion's already the MRI. You saw the MRI. And he goes, no, that's just what we're told to do. But what's the funniest thing is he would send me his guys from the Cowboys. So I'm like, am I a bad doctor or a good doctor? And he used to say, well, you know, you work for the team, so, you know, I don't want your loyalties. But, you know, Cam, I'll give you this. I don't know, this words of wisdom, how I got through it. And I think I'm very lucky in life. I lucked into an opportunity at this job at a young age. And for the first 8 years, there was at least one player on the team older than me. I was older than Junior Seau, but he felt like my brother, right? And that's where he got close to everybody. And I would never, as a doctor, do anything to harm my brothers and friends. So I had a unique perspective. And in later in life, the last 9 years I did it, they were like my little brothers, maybe. You know, I was much older. But I still felt that brethren. And I will tell you what I told the team. I said, don't tell me, hey, get this guy healthy because we're going to cut him. That puts a bad thought in my mind to change what's real. I have to play it straight. In order to own the locker room and have faith from people, you have to play it straight and honest, right? And I said, look, if it's LaDainian Tomlinson and he's the best player on the team, it's my job to get him healthy. If he's the 53rd guy on the team, it's my job to get him healthy. Don't tell me the consequences of doing that. Leave that part out of it. I'm going to play it straight in terms of what's happening. And I'll tell you, Cam, I don't know how – I hear people all the time say, you know, the team physician should be independent and from the team and whatever. Do you really think that's the best attitude? Look, Richard Sherman had good cause – not Richard Sherman. Jamal Adams had good cause to yell at the independent neuro on the sidelines because he was like, are you effing kidding me? I spent over a year coming back and a couple plays in, I feel fine and you're going to rule me out? Who the F are you, right? He's never met the guy before, right? And I get it, and it's emotional. You don't want that team physician. Part of this is having some rapport and having some trust. And as far as, you know, second opinions, you should always go get them. And I get how it's changed because most team doctors nowadays come as a sponsor package with the hospital. And I get that that doesn't bode as well. But here's what I always said. If I were a banker, my job is to take care of the money because that's the assets of the bank. The assets of a team are the players. So that's taking care of the money. So if I just take care of the assets, which are the players, things will shake out fine. And let me tell you, even that little Philip Rivers story I said, it wasn't the team saying he's got to go out and play. It wasn't Norv Turner saying, come on, let's go out and play. Norv Turner was saying, Billy Wolick has got this. Philip, you take care of your knee. It was Philip that said, no, I want to do this, et cetera. And so that's at least the dynamic that I experienced. I can't speak for other teams, but you know, I think it's in anything in life, it's about relationships and, you know, and long-term relationships. And the first time you sit down and talk to a player can't be when he's injured. You've got to sit down in training camp and break a little bread, sit next to him on the bus, say hello, you know, on an away trip in the hotel room, develop some sort of working relationship and rapport. So when the heat of battle comes and it's that Jamal Adams moment, you're going to say, this is for your own good, brother, my brother, you know. You know,
yeah, that warms my heart, Dr. Chow, because I was that 53 man on the roster, right? I was an undrafted guy, and I was worried about reporting injuries because I was like, wow, they may cut me. So it's really heartwarming to hear your thought process and how you approach the game, because undrafted guys like me, we were dead scared to share our injuries because of stuff like that. You know, you hear horror stories where, hey, this guy hurt or injured, you know, we need to cut him. So thank you for reconfirming that. Like I said, us as athletes, as people, we need to hear your perspective. We need to hear this stuff because it's a concern of ours as we play.
Yo, thanks. And thanks for letting me wander a little bit. I had fun talking with you guys. You were the last one of the day here. And we kind of got off Rams topics into other topics, but all good, I guess.
All good. I mean, you covered everything. You know, I think it's important for people to realize, like, this isn't okay, just because it's a sprain, you see, like, it doesn't mean that he'll be back this week. It's important to temper expectations. I think, you know, you do a great job. I thought you said it best on the live stream. You echoed that and added some more insight on this show, and we really appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So that's going to do it for us. This has been Believe in Rams. Special thanks to Dr. David Chow. You can go and find him at Pro Football Doc. You can follow me at JK Bogan. You can follow Cam Lynch at Cameron Lynch 50. That's going to do it. You guys take care, and we'll see you guys soon. Later, folks.
Thanks.